And right now, it's the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Thank you, Craig. It's a very odd morning to travel because I turn on the radio as I'm traveling in. This is the first day that the Musers, all three of us, have come into the studio. Yesterday, Craig was the only one in studio, and then on Monday, all three of us were broadcasting from secret remote locations. And so traveling in, and on the radio, they're saying, this is the worst of all the days. This is the worst day to be on the road this morning. And we're thinking, is that true? First of all, the reasoning is that the freeze overnight combined with the new term freezing fog or frozen fog, which are they going with? Is it frozen fog?
Yeah.
Frozen fog. Is creating such a layer of slickness on the roadways. I also heard a weather reporting reporter on radio say the side streets are okay, but the highways, don't get on those. Pretend they weren't even built. You just need to stay off of them.
I'd say the opposite.
And I had the exact opposite experience this morning.
Yeah, me too.
Like, it was pretty touch and go getting to the highway. Mm-hmm. The roads were pretty bad. Once I got to the highway, it seemed like they didn't have much ice on them at all. The highway that I took. You know, that's the problem is that, of course, we have so many different highways. Conditions may be different where you are than what I experienced. And I experienced 75 leading into downtown Dallas. So, you know, I would say the best advice is to consult your personal doctor.
Yes.
You know, discuss your options with
find
your
doctor.
Find
a plan that works for you.
Yeah, find a plan that works for you. Don't take advice from us. But just when you hear things reported, including this report, maybe look right outside your front window and right judge how your neighborhood's
always
doing.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind.
Take into consideration the vehicle you're driving.
Yes.
How well it handles snow or cobblestone ice. Take into consideration, honestly, your own ability to drive that car in these conditions.
Some people just don't have the ability to drive in these conditions. They can't evaluate conditions well, or they can't judge distances. I've noticed a lot of drivers seem to have problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
They can't judge distances, or they can't judge speed of other cars. Like, I've had people pull out right in front of me, and after looking at me and waiting for a long time while I was much further away,
yeah,
and then they pull out in front of me right when I get up to them, thinking they had plenty of time, or looking at me and pull into my lane going 5 miles an hour when I'm going 60.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait, and then they don't act nervous at all when this car is barreling towards them?
Right.
But I think those are the people who have the disappearing world theory, which is that once they pull in front of you, the world behind them disappears, right, so nothing can hurt them from
right
there.
Yeah.
So that car will evaporate as soon as they can just, if I can get into this roadway, the approaching car will evaporate.
They've even had their rearview mirrors removed.
Yeah, they don't need that. It kind of bugs them.
Right.
It's in their eye line when they're driving, so they just take them down. I have had the world remove my rearview mirror before, back when I had more wheels off cars, patching them together in my early 20s. I had one car that the rearview mirror, the adhesive had failed. And so to look behind me, I would have to pick it up off the dash and then kind of hold it with shake hand to look back behind me.
How long did you ride that out?
Oh, several months. Yeah. And it got repaired twice and fell down again. It never quite was fixed properly. That was particularly wheels off. And yeah, you'd take a turn too fast, and then the rearview mirror would skitter across the dash and go far. And then the next time you need to use it, you're reaching way over there and you're pulling the car hard right when you're doing it.
I don't think I've heard that one before.
Oh, yeah. I've had everything that could go wrong with a car go wrong with it. And it's all because my dad not only didn't believe in preventative maintenance, he didn't believe in repairs once that preventative maintenance that was skipped caused an issue. I don't know why, because every car repair was a ripoff. Every car repair
charge
was taking advantage of you. Okay, something else that you have to, that FEMA is watching out for. FEMA, of course, our largest leg bone and our agency that handles emergencies.
Mm-hmm. FEMA, but close.
Oh. Well, FEMA has gotten themselves in a situation where they can't warn motorists to watch out for ice because of the meme possibility.
Oh, wow.
And the Department of Homeland Security says, has told FEMA, hey, don't use those terms. We don't want people taking pictures of our big billboards out there that say, watch out for ice, or keep off the roads, beware of ice, and all those things. So now they're having to use things like freezing rain rather than ice, which takes up more space. It's not always accurate as to what the condition is that you're warning for is. May not be freezing rain, but you really want to warn people about ice, but you can't because of the whole ice stuff that's going on.
Wow.
It's not a bad idea to warn people about ice.
Yeah, you're against ice, right? You're against protecting our borders. Is that what I'm hearing, George?
No, I think we can protect our borders and not blast people in the face with guns from 3 feet away.
I don't know. I think there's only one way to do it, and it's this exact way that they're doing it right now.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
I mean, there's
job.
Just no other option.
They're doing a great job.
I don't think we're against ICE. I think we're against ICE tactics.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. In both sense of the words, in the ICE that is detaining people and the ICE that is crippling us on the roadways and causing us to break our FEMAs when we fall down. But yeah, they're saying that just watch out for that. Watch out for ice, but don't call it ice, is the directive that they've been given. What's the weirdest thing you've ever assaulted someone with?
Let's see. What different items have I thrown at you? I've thrown a notebook at you.
You did?
I took a soundproofing board and rammed you into a wall with
you
it.
You did? I hope everyone's taking note of this. He's admitting to assaults.
Yes. Yes, and they were warranted.
They were not warranted. The domestic abuse that I've taken from you has not been warranted. You know what?
Truly,
I am a survivor. That's what I choose to call myself.
Jeez.
A survivor.
Yes.
You are lucky to have survived some of the things you've done over the years that someone, as your own dad said, that someone was going to stick a knife at you someday.
Yeah, that was something you shouldn't tell a third grader, but one of these days, someone's going to take a knife to you.
Yeah, take a knife to you.
Take a knife to you. Gosh, so violent.
You also, by the voice of the Mavericks, been assaulted by an umbrella.
Whoa, wait a second. That sounds like a made-up story. Yeah, I was lanced with an umbrella by the voice of the Mavericks. As he screamed out and charged me. And his mood changed on a dime. We're sitting there laughing and everything. And he's laughing at all the jokes I'm making about him. And he's, and he just charged and raised an umbrella and tried to lance me with it.
Yet you are the common denominator in all of this. So perhaps your dad was correct.
I am the victim, the empowered victim.
Sure is a lot of smoke around you.
I remember one time George assaulted me with an antenna, a telescoping antenna.
That was you that was doing that to me. And I took a lot of these assaults from you.
I finally got to my breaking points.
I checked you into the boards.
I thought you
had a notebook at you.
An itch on your inner thigh, and that's why I snaked that telescoping antenna up the side of your cargo shorts.
That was back in the day where you really could complain to management about. I should have complained about that. I should have filed a report. They never would have believed it. He did what? Yeah, he was snaking an antenna up my thigh.
He was, wait, what's the verb you're using? He was snaking yes. an antenna well, yeah. up your
it's,
thigh.
It's, yeah. You know, it's on Gordo's bingo card, snake.
His bingo card? He assaults you with a bingo card? No. We have a bingo card. Snaking an antenna. And then I'm reading something else that you've put here on your report, Mr. Dunham. There is a sniffing putter?
Yes.
What is a sniffing putter?
He would take a putter and then give it the sound effect of sniffing. He would sniff on his own, and it would usually, again, kind of snake and go around my groin area.
Okay.
Or my bottom.
Okay. And what is Nessie? The word Nessie is written down here.
He had a name for it. He called the putter Nessie.
Okay. Mr. Dunham, listen, we're going to have you committed, and these gentlemen are going to take
He's
you away and evaluate you.
I didn't come up with Nessie. He did.
I'm telling you, that report would have gone nowhere because it would have sounded like such insanity.
You're right. Yeah, you're probably right.
And then, Craig, you didn't assault me with any particular object. We were fighting over an object.
We got in a fight in a cubicle over a CD.
A free CD.
A free CD, and Chuck Cooperstein stepped in the middle of us.
Said, cool it.
Hey.
Cool it.
And then our old promotions director, Michael Maroney, we also went down wrestling in a cubicle area in the front desk receptionist area.
Didn't it knock over the desk or knocked over something out there?
I think it knocked over a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Or ticket Christmas tree. Man, if only we had video of all of this, and we could just go from wrestling match to wrestling match.
Our old producer, the late Greg Mayoro, he went indeed. After you in the control room.
Yep.
Because you had agitated him to that point.
And he was like 6'7".
And took a swing at you, and it knocked over this rack of carts or
he was
8-track.
Top heavy, and I ducked a swing from him. And then he hit the cart rack, this big kind of circular thing, and he rode that down to the ground.
And he concluded at the end of that?
He said, "My God, I don't even think you're human."
Radio superstar guy.
Again, George, what is the common denominator here?
The common denominator is me being the victim.
It's you being the agitator. You have gotten into it with at least 10 people up here, where the only people anyone else has ever gotten into it with is you.
Okay, but those were the only ones, right? And they were all front-loaded in that first year, basically. First year and a half.
I know there's got to be more.
There has to be more.
You were escorted out by the hammer.
Yeah, Grego.
Pushed out of a press box because, again, you were trying
ballpark.
To trip up one of their live spots, or they were trying to tape something. And, I'm sorry, I was just trying to help you.
That's right.
It's shoved out of the press box.
He had like a delay in his headphones or something, and he was trying to record a live spot. And him recording a live spot, even when there isn't an echo in his headphones, was always fun to witness.
You and the Rhines had a fight over a VHS tape.
What is that one? I don't remember this one.
Remember you all had the old footage of him, and he didn't want that out, so he started wrestling you.
I forgot about that one.
You've had more wrestling matches than most pro wrestlers.
By the way, it's weird to call him the Rhines.
The Rhines.
That was a weird way of saying it, pal. Okay, but the Falwell Corby one. See, Corby was getting involved in them too.
Corby, yeah, but it was your prank that got it going, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of my prank that got it going, pal. I prank called Falwell as a program director at a station that was out of state that was trying to hire him away from the ticket. And the prank was going to be the fact that it was such a bad job offer that he was going to reject it. And
he was listening.
And so I issue all this ridiculous. So yeah, well, it's for, I forget what it was. It was like $13,000 a year. It's in this remote Montana cabin broadcast booth. And you have to bring your own car, and you need to provide a car for your assistant. It was a whole convoluted thing. And he was just silent on the other end of it. I was expecting him to reject it or say something. And I go, "Are you there?" He goes, "I'm listening." He was treating it all cloak and dagger. He was really interested in the job offer.
But he was at work. But he was so at work. Talk about
so ticket, really so he's say. Hiding from management trying to negotiate this deal. And then Corby got the tape of it. And then Falwell was trying to get the tape back before it could be played on air. And it was when Corby had long hair. And Falwell ripped out a chunk of carpet out of Corby's head. And that was all going on. Were you guys on the air? Who was on the air?
I can't remember.
I think it was during our shift, because I looked in there and you guys looked like a hockey fight going
on.
Yeah,
there's a newsroom, so it's like a big aquarium that you look through, and you can see the newsroom. And you see Corby and Falwell just going back, and it's silent. It's soundproofed, so you can't hear anything of the violence that's going on behind there. But you see two chimps just fighting. It's so stupid. God, what a cartoon place this was in those early days. It was crazy. Anyway,
all right.
I didn't have time for my pork chop story. I'm going to start ending every segment with that.
Pork chop.
We didn't have time for Matt Damon.
Yeah, we didn't. I'm sorry. We don't have time for Matt Damon.